Welcome to the MegaCast.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 88 of the MegaCast. I'm one of your hosts for the evening. I'm not Perko. I am Dash. Along with the co-host, the normal guys for the MegaCast, I'm here with the guy who's usually on the other side of the PUBG map, Walko.
Who's this guy again? who are you? Where did we pull you from?
Mate, I'm your new overlord, all right?
Well, I just want to point out just one little point. You're not the first person to take over from Perko or me on the MegaCast. Brendan Aitken was the first person to do that. So you are sloppy seconds again. But welcome.
Hey, man, I'm more than happy to be sloppy seconds behind Brendo. That's no problem. And, of course, the guy who's actually keeping this all together, to be honest, Mr. Super Mega Josh Jerkins. What's going on, Josh?
You know, just another gorgeous Tuesday night, and glad I'm spending it with you wonderful people.
You won't be by the end of the next hour, I promise you that.
Walko's been sweating.
I'm trying real hard to be the voice of reason here, but you boys are making it real difficult, eh?
I am kind of glad that you're here, Josh, because you're the one who's actually going to keep this together tonight, because I know for a fact that Walko and I will probably just derail this like 50 times over. I think Walko's already half asleep. He's ready to go to bed.
I've got the rage quit button right next to my knee, and it's ready to go.
So I see you guys. I see you've both been on a MegaCast before then.
Because it's getting
derailed. This is my first time, but I said to Jerko Perko that I'd be... on when he'd be on, and all of a sudden he's, you know, he's either inebriated half the time or he's down in Melbourne.
That's Maddie's out working away at Melbourne at the moment. I was talking to him at about midnight last night, and he was still in the office.
For those who aren't watching the video podcast, because we don't do a video version of it, but Josh was actually using inverted commas around working there, so
of course can't see it at the moment. So usually I don't actually host it, so this is going to be a bit of a kerfuffle getting into it, but do you guys usually do a intro and all that?
No, we do nothing. We just
wing it.
All right, no problem. So I'll give you a little bit of an improvised one. This is the MegaCast. It is the official podcast of ultrasupermega.com. Post weekly on Tuesday night, yeah?
Yeah, maybe. No, we record it weekly, and then we release it more monthly, generally.
Come on now. Usually by the end of the week it's up.
Usually by the end of the week. It usually goes up by Thursday or Friday on the website.
Well, do us a favor. For all those listeners out there, do us a favor. Give the boys a cheeky 5-star rating on iTunes. It definitely helps them out. Boys, it's E3.
It is.
Is it?
Almost E3.
It feels like E3 is the 2-week process now, and I'm loving that fact that...
it's Christmas Eve.
Like everyone's basically gone, we don't have enough at E3 this year. We're just going to let you all know about our stuff in advance. But they're doing it nicely. They're going, okay, we'll have today, you guys release your info tomorrow, and then you guys do it the next day. And we're just getting this trickling out of information leading up to E3, and I love it, and I love it, and I love it. So it's really, really good.
I agree. I said it last night while I was podcasting with my co-host buddy. I said it just feels like that with E3 coming around, it's always gaming Christmas. You know, you get to stay up 24 hours a day if you got the leave, I guess, like me.
You're lucky.
It's just watch like nonstop all these conferences. You know, get no sleep because that's usually how it goes.
That's how my life is anyway, mate.
No, what's that?
That's how my life is anyway, let alone E3. I don't know how I've scored it, but my partner's out of town with the kids weekend, so I will 100% be getting up at early 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. to watch the EA play one. But then, unfortunately, they all sort of land during Monday through Friday, unfortunately, the rest of them. But pretty keen this weekend to see what Anthem has to offer EA on Sunday morning, so...
What are you keen on, Josh?
Oh, just the whole shit and caboodle, you know? Just the whole
shit. Sorry, I felt like I interrupted you there, Walko. What were you going
to
say?
Oh, he was only talking about Anthem. We don't need to discuss that.
Actually going to transition into the start of the podcast where we actually find out what people have been up to for the last week.
Fair enough. Go for it.
To Dash, beautiful Dash, what have you been doing for the last week, mate?
In gaming. Podcasting non-stop.
Oh, bullshit.
So
how many have you recorded in the last week?
This is the third one.
Is that all?
Hey,
I've done three today before I woke up.
I've been podcasting and doing a bit of gaming. I finished Detroit last week, and I can't really say what I've been gaming with yet, but I have been gaming with a few games that I'll be talking about real soon, which is really cool. There's a few. I can say that I played Mario Tennis Aces, the demo, which was really good. But other than that, pretty much podcasting and making more content lately. Yeah.
Well, you better now you've forcibly brought it up. You better unplug those podcasts that you do.
So I'm part of the 8-Bit Collective.
Never heard of
along
it.
With along with a
mashed
bunch
potato
of
potato haters. I don't know. Fucking
hey man, you know what? I am not a mashed potato hater. Okay, I am a full blown lover of the mashed potatoes. Okay.
Unfortunately, you're all tarred by the same brush when your leader and overlord is the one that hates it.
Hey man, until he puts the checks in the mail, he ain't my overlord.
Can you do me a favor next time you're talking to GC Fabio? Can you like give him a cuddle for me? I miss him.
All right, fair enough. I'll let him know.
Anyway, back to your plugging, your self-promotion, which is what you're here for.
Fair enough. Yeah. I do. right now I'm doing... it's almost going to become five podcasts with the 8-Bit Collective at the moment. One, Dash Culture, with my co-host Buddy Watson, where we talk about pop culture. We should be really leaving this to the end, but Dash and Holmesy Take Your Hearts is our book club inspired podcast. Right now myself and Holmesy 5 talking about Persona 5. He's doing his first playthrough of it as his first JRPG. And
are you taking over the Bachelor one that they started and never finished?
Man, you know what? We spoke about that, I think, 2 weeks ago, just amongst us. Yep. And he, like, honestly, Brando is still heartbroken that they are not doing that.
I bet he is. Actually, the other thing, too, man. for a network that has their leading podcast as The Hungry Gamers, there's very little actual podcasts about food. I think you need to rectify that too.
Hey man, I'm only I do
you do half their podcast. You have a say. Make it happen, mate. Make it happen.
I'll speak to Brendan
about it. A podcast
about
food would be difficult, but oh so delicious.
Oh, I got him on speed dial, so I'll see what I can do.
That's good. You do that.
Actually, you know what? Don't give us ideas, Walker, because we'll take them and we'll do them,
all
right?
Mate, I've got all the ideas in the world. I just don't have the time to do them. So you take them and do them with what you will.
Cool, no problem. I'm sorry, I lost my track. Yeah, and I do one other right now currently. 8-Bit Mania is our wrestling-inspired podcast where myself, the Spawny 13, otherwise known as Benny 8-Bit.
Or GC Fabio to his friends.
and Brendan, we get together after every WWE pay-per-view and chat it out and review it, and this weekend we've got one coming out as well for New Japan Pro Wrestling's Dominion, so that'll be an interesting one.
That's not where I thought you were going with that. I thought you guys were getting together and actually getting in jelly and wrestling, and that was the podcast. But anyway,
where does the jelly come from? Why does jelly have to come into a Wilco? Like, is there something you want to share with the group?
There's three guys, one of them GC Fabio, and they're getting together to talk wrestling. I just went there, naturally.
Go
That's
on.
That's just the way it is.
Hey, Wilco.
Yes.
What have you been up to?
I've battling and wrestling with my two computers, actually. That's all I've been
jelly.
Doing for last week. Yeah, jelly. Lots of jelly. little fact, not many people know, I don't like jelly, so that's okay.
You don't like jelly?
No, I don't like it. I don't know why.
Oh my god, we're having a mashed potato moment here.
Yeah, I know. It's all
gonna,
what is this?
I
don't know.
I'm gonna mail
I've just
him.
Never eaten it, never got into it. I'll probably like it if I ate it, but
aeroplane jelly. You know, just send it down to
him. Aeroplane jelly's the best.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
Something's wrong with you.
Yeah, there's a lot wrong with me. Don't worry about that. I think we'll go with a whole podcast series about that. 22 part series already written out. So I put together an actual second PC the other week, and
okay.
Pretty much since Wednesday or so, Thursday night. So we've streamed, we did the Locked On podcast, and ever since then, I've had blue screen of death on the streaming PC. So haven't really been gaming very much because I've been trying to get that sort of sorted out. And I have. This tonight, I'm recording on my streaming PC. All is well. But yeah.
We're not risking anything right now, are we?
No, it's all good. The temperature is sitting at a nice cool... 30 degrees Celsius inside my CPU, which is good.
If Wilco just drops out halfway, like the PC's just exploded.
Oh, don't joke about it. Last night, we had the beautiful Andrew from Juicy Cupcake down in Adelaide talking about brief battles. Been trying forever to get him on the podcast. We finally got him on. And I said, well, I'm going to press record now. We're going to go live. Just beware.
My PC does
go blue screen every now and then. I'm still trying to work it out. And as I finished saying, I realized that it had gone blue screen and they couldn't hear a word I was saying. So half an hour later, swapping everything over to my new PC, downloading everything, getting it all sorted out, we finally started the podcast. And it was really good though. Like, Brief Battles is amazing. You really do need to check it out. It's a sneaky... I almost got the release date out of him. I did the old little flow at the end and had him about to say it, and he had to pull back. But they're announcing the release date in the next week or two. So check it out. Wishlist it on Steam if you can. They definitely deserve your money.
But definitely check that out.
Other than that, I've just been playing The Division because that's what I'm trying to get...
Oh my god!
My main PC to be able to play, so I can stream. So that's my test bed. I've been playing a mission of The Division, and if my streaming PC dies halfway through it, then I know it's failed and it needs to be fixed. But that's rinse and repeat. That's all I've done for last week. Besides, catch up on all this gossip that we're going to talk about soon about what's happening at E3 and getting really, really excited. So, but other than that. Well. You better hear what Josh has been talking about, because I think he's been trying to get me to play some games, and I've refused to play with him as well. So,
Josh, please tell us what you've been doing.
Not a lot, really. Like
was a terrible segue. Then
it was pretty horrible. Now, look, my past week really has just involved State of Decay 2. That's it. That's all I've been playing.
How's the co-op going with the missus?
Sorry.
How's the co-op going with the missus?
Actually, the co-op's not too bad. To be fair.
Do you have to butt hug? That's what I've heard. You've got to butt hug everywhere you go, otherwise you lose instances.
We haven't had any issues when we've done it at all. I've got a mate at work who said, and we haven't tried it yet, but she did say that when her and her partner tried to play and tried to drive two cars, it crashed everything. So we didn't try that because we actually wanted to play the game. But we didn't come across any issues at all. And to be fair, I haven't really come across any issues at all when I've been playing it.
Interesting,
which is pretty good.
I've heard multiple counts of different issues, like bugs and everything else. Just even like multiple crashes and stuff. Yeah. So I'm actually surprised that you're actually reporting.
I haven't come across. Like, granted, I'm not going into it thinking it's going to be a AAA, you know, amazing spec game, so maybe there's a couple of things that I'm seeing there, but I'm just kind of expecting them to be there, you know, like maybe there's, you know, a couple of instances where a zombie glitches out and is off the ground a little bit, but you know, nothing game breaking, nothing that stopped my enjoyment of the game, you know, so which is pretty good. I'm pretty much my first playthrough, I'm on the legacy quest now for the builder. For those of you who don't know, that like there's no story element at all to the game, which I think is a bit disappointing because I think that universe is so ripe for so much story there. There's so much happening. There's these little groups called the Red Talon and things like that are just in there that you don't really know too much about throughout the game. So there's so much opportunity there for story, but it's basically just kill the plague hearts, and that's the end of your run through, you know. But depending on the leader you get, each of the leaders has got, there's four different subclasses of leader. There's builder, warlord. What are the other two? I forget the other two. So there's four. There's four subclasses there. Once you kill all the plague hearts, you then get a legacy quest for your leader. And if you do the legacy quest, what that does is your next playthrough, you then get a bonus, which makes the game easier. So as the builder, if you do the legacy quest for the builders, next time you start a new community, you get free power and free water for your community the whole time. So it just gives you these little bonuses to make the game easier for the next couple of playthroughs. Like when you do the warlord one, I think you just get a massive cache of weapons straight from the get-go, you know? So... looking forward to doing that. I'll probably play. I'll definitely get the builder one out of the way. I'll probably play through a couple of the other ones. I'll do a couple of playthroughs of that, But that's really all I've spent my time with over the weekend. The other one is, I picked it up today, a little game called Vampyr. Released today.
Yeah, from the same devs of Life is Strange, Don't Nod.
Yeah, Don't Nod, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I haven't spent too much time with that, probably about an hour, maybe, kind of getting through that first tutorial staging, I guess. I'll be working on a review for that, so hopefully I'm maybe going to try and get that out by this weekend.
Initial impressions?
Good. Initial impression is good. I'm keen to really start digging in and seeing what the consequences are of all the actions. So one of the big things that really drew me to this game is obviously you're a vampire, and you can choose how, I guess, vampirish you want to be. Like, are you gonna keep feeding on people, or are you gonna go the bit more human and just eat rats kind of thing, you know, and not kill people? Each person you kill in this way affects the game in some way. Like, there's a consequence for doing it. And starting to play it now and seeing how all these people are interlinked and things like that, it's pretty interesting. The combat so far feels fairly lackluster. I think it's, you know, just pushing buttons. You know, there's no real flow to it. But I think the interesting thing for me about the game, I think, is going to be the story and exactly how those consequences hit you, you know, and affect your gameplay. I think that's going to be the big thing.
Does it resemble... Have you played Life is Strange by any
chance? No, I hadn't played Life is Strange.
Have you seen any gameplay of Life is Strange?
I did see some gameplay of it. I'm trying to remember it at the moment. There was... I don't know. It's not a pretty game, but it's not a shit-looking game. You know, it just...
Yeah.
And I think that's probably more to do with how somber that they're trying to make the whole scene look, you know, like everything's drizzly, everything's grey, you know, you're in, what is it, 1886 or something, London, you know, so there's plague, there's stuff like that. They're really trying to, the colour tones and everything really match the mood they're trying to get. Like, this is a city that is not doing well, you know, and there's nothing vibrant about it. So you don't go into it and go, wow, this is a pretty, you know, cityscape or anything. It's okay, this looks drab, it looks boring, because it's meant to.
The reason I ask is because Life is Strange was kind of the same deal. It wasn't pretty, it wasn't ugly, it was somewhere in between. It looked like a PlayStation 3 game, even less of a play. It looked like a PlayStation 2 game, but it was like in HD for PlayStation 3, and it also just made it to PlayStation 4, because it was actually on PlayStation 3 as well. It was available for both. My initial, what I was going to ask you was if it seemed any similar in terms of its game mechanics to how Life is Strange worked. Obviously, there is a combat system that's different, that they kind of went a little bit different in terms of the way they developed the game, obviously, this time around.
I didn't get a chance to play Life is Strange, but one thing that, there's a couple of things that have already jumped out at me. I was going to do some research before we started, but just didn't because I was too busy playing. So the first one is I am getting a real Legacy of Cain feel from it. Ooh. Right? I'm thinking more along the lines of the later editions after Soul Reaver had come out. I'm thinking, like, was it Legacy of Cain 3, maybe? Where you're third person running around with him and the you know, elements of Soul Reaver are starting to bleed into that story. So I'm getting that kind of feel from it. And the voice, it's probably not the same person, but the voice for the main character does sound fairly similar to the Kane's voice from that game. So, but for some reason, and I don't know why, and it wasn't a very good game, but for some reason I've just got this too human kind of thought kicking around in the back of my head. Probably more to do with the fact of how you can go vampire or human kind of thing. I think it's going to be a fairly interesting game. I'm pretty excited to spend some more time with it.
Awesome. I'm definitely intrigued. So I'll probably end up picking that up sometime this week too. Hey, guys, you want to talk about the news?
Let's do it.
This is the fucking news.
Yeah, let's talk about the news. So Capcom apparently have registered a domain for Devil May Cry 5. Apparently, this has been speculation for a long time now that Capcom have been in, you know, deep development for Devil May Cry 5, especially since the marketing fail of DMC Devil May Cry, the reboot.
And
obviously, a lot of people wanted
and
it.
If the domain name's Devil May Cry 5, it's not DMC 2, which makes me fairly excited for it because I enjoyed DMC, but it wasn't Devil May Cry to me. Like, it wasn't the right Dante, you know? Like, it just didn't fit. So if it is actually a Devil May Cry 5 coming, which continues on from 4 or in some ways linked to 4, I'm pretty excited for that because I really did enjoy Devil May Cry 4.
Now, a little bit of context to this. I didn't fall asleep, sorry.
Did Wilco fall asleep?
I just picked a fight with Kotaku on Twitter, and I was just following up with it, dropping some bombs, some truth bombs on him. And, cool. So, the actual company that has registered this from a guy in the Devil May Cry Discord has found out it's the same company that's registered this Monster Hunter Worlds, all those other different domains that got registered before the games got announced, so it does all fit 100% in a fairly accurate description of what's going to happen. It should be an actual new Devil May Cry in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 series rather than DMC, so pretty excited, and probably I'd say going to be seen on the Sony stage at some stage. I'd be shocked if it's anything other than that.
Personally, I really, really like DMC Devil May Cry. A lot of people gave it a lot of flack, obviously, because it wasn't exactly the same universe as the original Devil May Cry series. For me personally, I always thought that the original Devil May Cry series just started becoming a bit of a drag. Like, it just didn't fit what we play anymore. Like, the mechanics of Devil May Cry 4 felt very flat, and especially with a new protagonist, I should say, in I think it was Nero, was his
Nero.
Name? You know, Dante only making like special appearances in the game, it kind of just fell flat. And personally, when they said, "Hey, there's a reboot coming," and that initial trailer came along, I was really excited. And then obviously they reworked the Dante model a little bit more. But they still kept the story, what they wanted. I loved it. I thought it was a great reboot, and it was something that Team Ninja were taking a big risk in. Obviously, it didn't pay off because a lot of hate came from just that initial trailer, and a lot of people read into that hate and didn't actually buy the game, which is a shame because that game scored massively everywhere. Everybody loved it. And, I mean, you know what? Devil May Cry 5 seems like it's time for a reboot of the initial series. And I think that Devil May Cry 5 might bring that if they've actually been working on it.
Yeah.
You never know. There's this whole thing with reboots now where God of War just started is let's just make the game better and keep it in the same universe and slightly move it all forward. So maybe even something like that, just change the whole gameplay style altogether, keep the story there, the narrative, but just make it even better. That's the other option.
Yeah. So, Walker, you finished Detroit a couple of weeks ago, you said,
yes,
yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. I've got a question. So, out of God of War and Detroit so far, which one had you hooked more?
Detroit, to be honest. I want to go back and finish Detroit 100%. I probably would still put God of War as my game of the year. I think it's a better game, and I think it's put together better, but the story of Detroit and how it's told, even though the story was so good in God of War, the Detroit story just, it had me, like, it had me just that little bit more. I think the gameplay and the one camera aspect of God of War itself and the turnaround, I guess, as well, is what puts it ahead of me for game of the year. But the actual what had its claws into me more was probably Detroit. And I will go through and platinum, and I've never platinumed a game before in my life.
But you want to platinum this one?
Oh, no, I will. It's not a case of I want to. This weekend, I'm going to put some time aside while my partner's away, and I'm going to actually platinum it, and I'm going to make sure I do. So,
very good.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
Josh, have you played Detroit?
No, it's something I do want to play. Editing the Megacast from last week and listening to Wilco wax lyrical about it for, I don't know, 20 minutes, I think it might have been, Wilco, somewhere around there, I think you
spoke
about.
Yeah, I've got 2,500 words there. When I actually get down to sit and edit it, I will release, so... that'll be this weekend as well.
Yeah. Look, one of the big things that Wilco said last week in the Megacast was that, you know, if you're a fan of story-driven games, then this is a game that you need to pick up because it is phenomenal. And I'm a fan of story-driven games, you know, and it's something I want to pick up. And I think that my understanding of it going in and the issues that are portrayed in the game.
Yeah,
are so realistic because we're not that realistic. We're probably not that far off that stuff really happening. If we're on, maybe the full fledged androids and stuff, but it just makes me think of a book I read.
Give us another 30 years.
Yeah. You know, like the discussions that we're going to start having. You know, in my lifetime, I wouldn't be surprised if they're happening in my lifetime, you know? So just to see how other people think it's going to play out.
I think that there's a guy on Twitter, I can't remember his real name, it's Pez Bro or something stupid like that. He came up with a tweet that said... Peas, bro. Yeah, I don't peas. Know. So he likes those little clicker lolly things. I don't know. He's obsessed by them.
Some guy was supposed to do a PlayStation podcast with.
Yeah, apparently. But he did. He put it best where his tweet said, "We don't deserve androids," and that's how the game made me feel. And I'm not going to spoil anything, but like the way they portray a bad guy in a choose your own adventure, so you can basically choose whichever way you want to go. The way they portray a villain in that is amazing when I'm basically portraying it myself, but the options that they give me basically do it for them. But the way they let you do that is really good. Josh Butters, who we tried to get on tonight as well, instead of Dash, but unfortunately we couldn't get, so we got Dash. He's on his third playthrough at the moment and pretty hardcore playthrough, and he's going to try 100% as well. He's hooked.
So is that absolutely? That's why Butters couldn't come tonight, because he's too busy playing.
He's playing Detroit,
pretty much. So he's playing a pretty hardcore version of Connor being a ruthless prick, and it's got all these different feels to what the first game playthrough had, and it's that really nice point of hours to play the game. Like the 8 to 10 hours to get through the storyline is a really nice point, and to be able to play it again and play it completely differently and see completely different stuff. Like, you can make it a 50-hour, 60-hour game if you want to, or you can make it a 10-hour game, live with that experience, and that's your experience. So,
right.
But this is not the Detroit Become Human review podcast again. This is the news.
No.
So we probably should get back to that.
There was a reason I brought it up.
Because
the reason I brought it up was we were just discussing the reboots of games and all that stuff, and I wanted to compare like a new IP that's in Detroit compared to something God of War and all that. Obviously, you just said that you've had more enjoyment coming out of Detroit than you have out of God of War.
I don't physically see Detroit as a new IP.
Just see it as a continuation of David Cage's universe.
It's a David Cage Quantum game. It's like, especially when there's definitely a couple scenes that he has ripped straight from Heavy Rain, but it just felt like the sequel to Heavy Rain and polished up and done a lot better. It never at any stage did it feel like this was a brand new IP that they were dropping on me, which is a strange thing when it's a brand new universe. And but that's why I like him so much, because he's not afraid to do one universe and that's it. And he said he's never coming back to this universe. This is a start, finish, and a start, middle, and end to a story that they will then go off and make a whole different world and world build again. So, yeah, I respect
good on him.
That.
That's great.
Yeah.
I personally am not a fan of his games usually, but this one here honestly is my game of the year so far. So
yeah, no, I've been very critical of Heavy Rain. I've returned it because of the plot holes and the launch was terrible. Beyond Two Souls, I never got into. What's the first one he did? Fahrenheit.
I didn't really
get into it, but it was the best of the three. And there are other games that he's made, but they're the high profile ones. And definitely, I'm not a fan of it. I like the idea of it, but Detroit he nailed.
Yeah. So to sum this up, Devil May Cry 5 has been registered as a the chief executive of Australia's National Broadband Network.
this fucking thing.
Blames gamers for slow internet speed. Oh my god, this has to be a comedy. This has to be a comedy act. He's saying that he's thinking about limiting bandwidth used by gamers.
This is Bill Morrow, right? He is the chief executive of the NBN, right? And he is told he was at a parliamentary hearing in Sydney, and he said, while people are gaming, it is a high bandwidth requirement that is a steady streaming process. As a result,
what the fuck is the difference of what we've got now?
Wait. He says, as a result of the assessment, they're considering, and this is quoted, slowing down or limiting downloads for users during peak times. And that the users that will be affected by this policy are expected to be gamers predominantly. Now, the real reason they're doing this is because the NBN is a pile of fucking shit. Right? So they are looking for a reason. It just frustrates the fuck out of me that this is even a conversation. No.
Yep.
Fiber to the house and you've got no problems because it's got...
Give us a good platform and there won't be an issue.
That's it.
And see, this is the other thing too. The NBN's own website states, quote, believe it or not, some of the biggest online games use very little data while you're playing compared to streaming HD video or even high fidelity audio.
Yep.
What?
Because that's fact.
Because that's true.
Exactly right.
What gets me in all this is that, how they can, basically the fiber to the node and fiber to the curb technology that they've tried to introduce into all this now has obviously been a way for them to control that market
It's a price cutting measure. Yeah. That's all it was in the first place.
It was price cutting in the first place, right? But that doesn't mean that we don't know, we probably don't know stuff about it. That basically they're saying, hey, you know, we could probably control speeds at night or we can control speeds at this certain time from the node. You know what I mean? So,
but the problem is, he's made a statement purely to people who have no concept of the internet whatsoever.
No,
it's the generation that we are waiting.
He doesn't have a concept of the fucking internet.
No, he doesn't. This is we're waiting for this generational shift where that generation doesn't have controlling power of things like this anymore. Until that happens, we're going to get shit like this. We're going to get shit like. What's the game that got refused classification last week? They were talking about Happy Few.
Yeah, Happy Few.
We are going to get shit like this, and esports is becoming bigger and bigger. And what are they going to turn up to Etihad Stadium when they're having a big CS:GO tournament and say, "Oh, sorry guys,
sorry, it's Marvel Stadium now."
Yeah, Marvel Stadium. I forgot Melbourne existed, to be honest. But it'll rock up. Then they're going to go, "Sorry guys, we're going to cut you down. You're using too much, and I can't download my porn at home." you need to sort of pull back on that a bit.
This just stinks. It just stinks to me of those, like even the hotels or even like Brisbane Airport or stuff where maybe they've got free Wi-Fi for the first 250 megabytes and then we're gonna give you 1 megabyte.
Putting in your password goes over the limit. It'll be completely different in 10 to 15 years. I guarantee you that generation will be no longer in control and things will actually happen. And look, indie devs in Australia will be able to actually make games and be rewarded for doing it.
My worry is, Wilco, is that this shit happening now is going to prevent that happening in 15 to 20 years. It's going to fuck it up. It's going to fuck it up so much that it's going. We simply can't turn it around. That's the issue that we've got.
I got to give it to Josh on this one because it's an expensive infrastructure that they've completely fucked up in the first place. Let's be honest here. I'm going to go a bit political here now. When Labor went with when they introduced the NBN infrastructure,
It was going to be okay. The RUD model was good.
Yeah.
And then Turnbull came in and said, oh, it's costing too much. Gamers don't need that, brah.
Yeah, exactly.
I need that. And, yeah, we'll just, it's close enough. We'll get it to the street around the corner. Yeah. They'll be happy with brah.
I just love the NBN ads now that are saying, this month, 91% of all NBN installations were completed successfully first time. And we're aiming to do better. That 91% is not something that you should be happy about. And what do you mean this month? What was it last month? 73?
Yeah, it was less, for sure.
It's probably a lot less, yeah.
Australia's fucked as far as the government goes. We've clearly mentioned that on many occasions. I've done a whole podcast about how fucked the government is on the hype train. So let's just move on.
Look, makes me sad. I get NBN actually next week, which is fucking sweet because I'll be able to finally stream again on Twitch. But the thing is, I totally agree with you guys. I'm getting fiber to the curb in my street, which is apparently their new, quote unquote, Bunny Ears new technology that they've introduced, which is honestly just fiber to the node with a fancy name.
Yeah.
But you know, I'll be able to judge firsthand.
Look, it's better than what we have.
Well, honestly, I've got fiber to
the node. I've had it for ages, and it is way better than any other alternative we could possibly have.
You mean like cable?
Yeah, as in what we've had in the past. What I've physically cable had in broadband, my area,
because that's what I currently got. I've only I get 100 down and 2 up.
Yeah, I used to only ever get 8 down and maybe 1 up, 1-2 up.
Fuck.
Yeah. Well, that was on ADSL too.
ADSL and Mackay, and we actually used carrier pigeons. So I probably can't really
explain that right. NBN, but, to be honest. But anyway.
Hey guys, Red Dead Redemption 2 announced a few special editions.
I got this email this morning at 5:30.
It was so bloody early.
Pumped. So good. I saw that chest edition. So there's editions here. Let's talk about the actual editions before I tell you my story, because that's what good news people do.
Yep.
There's a collector's edition. Obviously, there's a game. So you can get the game on Xbox or PS4. I thought there's pretty pictures in this, but there's not. There's a special edition here. It comes with a map. Also get some exclusive content that they've made in-game assets. Cool, thanks for that. That's great. Gameplay boosts, cash bonuses and discounts. There's a whole heap of the shark credits for GTA Online as well.
Yeah.
There's an Ultimate Edition which gets you some more cool, unlockable in-game content that should have been there already. It's got a steel case, which is pretty cool. I think that's what that is. Exclusive steel book. Yeah, they still do that, you idiots. Yep. Anyway. there's bonus GTA dollars going everywhere when you pre-order. You can have 1 million here, 2 million there. Great, get it.
What for?
But the real stuff is this Red Dead Redemption 2 collector's box, which comes with a medal. I can't read that, but it's a box with a lock and key, which is, I've got the old, and I still use it.
It's a metal Tithing box.
GTA 4 one, yeah?
Yeah, it's so good.
It's a Tithing box. It's
high quality as well. It's got playing cards. It's got a collectible challenge coin. It's got the bandana. It's got the 12 cigarette cards. It's got a double-sided puzzle. A jigsaw puzzle.
Fuck yeah.
It's got the treasure map as well. It's got a pin set that's in a cool little bag. It's got the Wheeler, Ronson & Co. catalogue, which is pretty cool looking as well. Now, it doesn't have the game, but that is the edition that I jumped in and got. I was so sad because I couldn't get it from the Rockstar warehouse. Because I'm saying sold out. Then I knew EB would get it, and as soon as EB sent out the email to say, hey dude, we've got this, I jumped on it straight away, and because I'm going to get my game digitally anyway, so I didn't want
so it doesn't come with the game.
Nah,
okay,
not at
what
all. Doesn't come with the game.
Okay,
then yeah, how about no, they can keep it.
This is it's just collectibles for the game.
It's a collector's edition for digital purchases.
It's a collector's box.
I hate when they do that kind of shit. That's just a cash in.
More of it. Do more of it. Because I don't want the fucking in-game assets. I don't want the
What do you mean? I want the game. If I'm going to buy something like this, Walker, I want the game to come with it.
It's going to give me... I can't believe that they're giving you a bank robbery mission and gang hideout as part of the pre-order bonus. Just put that in the
game. Now, this is...
Walker, that's going to cost $300 without the game.
Now, I just want to point this out. This I'm excited for Red Dead Redemption 2, I really am, and as much as I'd probably like to get one of the special editions, I probably won't. But one of the things reading through this that worries me is the cash bonus that you get for story mode.
Oh yeah,
that worries me a little bit. Only in the way of can you just buy your way through the story?
Well, you can buy the campaigns, you can buy ranked bonuses, you can buy a chestnut thoroughbred, free access to additional weapons. But that's a scary option. Plus get three weapons free from the gunsmith. You've got to ask yourself though, most of the stuff that they give you in all these type of editions are cool. So you're level one, here's a gun for a level one person, enjoy it. And then 5 minutes later, that's obsolete. Whether this is different where this is end game guns that you can, or the guns are the same all the way through, they level up with you, that would be different. But if it's, you know, bonus outfits, free survivor, camp theme, like the outfits, you're probably going to, they're never as good. Like Sea of Thieves is the first one where it said the stuff we're giving you in these bonuses when you purchase different things are actually the coolest part of the game, which I don't like that either.
I just say this was ass.
No, it was pure brilliant. But
shake hands with NATO. That game is just fucking ass.
Yeah, I know. I've got a game with NATO soon. So, but yeah, there's some worrying stuff in here.
It just worries me that you're going to be able to and. This is pre-order stuff, right? And special edition stuff. But the fact that it's in there worries me that you're going to be able to go on to the online store and buy it and effectively buy your way through the story.
I 100% think that it'll be, as I said, like the Division when we first got it was, hey, you have this purple gun, which looks really cool. And then once you leveled up two levels, it was absolutely useless. I feel it'll be stuff like that. Mm. That's why I'd never want any of this shit that they give you for pre-ordering bonuses, the digital content. I hardly ever download them, to be honest. I just like, yeah, whatever, I just want the game. Like that's why I wanted the physical stuff, like the physical loot box that they're giving you. If it was random, that would be even worse. But
if it was
they're
random,
giving you a loot box that you have to open a key and find out what's inside, at least you know what's inside it though. Funny? But it's physical stuff.
That photo, you get the tithing box and then one of those items.
One of those
randomly
items. Yeah.
Look, personally, if I had the game in that collector's box, I'd be happy, but because it doesn't,
I understand why. I hate collector's editions that have the game in it. I love collector's editions, but I want all my games physical, and if I'm going to get it with a physical copy of game, I'm only going to trade that in anyway. I understand not everyone goes digital, and look, you're probably going to pay, if this was an edition with a physical copy of it, you're probably going to pay more because they're going to charge you $99.95 for that game because that's what Australians have to pay for games. But
if you shop at EB Games,
well, that's the thing though. If you got this edition, which is exclusive to EB, so you can't price match this at all. But if you got this edition, which doesn't have a physical copy, you walk down to JB and you buy the game for $65 on day of release, you saved yourself 30 odd bucks anyway. And you're getting the same thing you would have got if they had to put it in there. So,
So the end goal in this, price match people, save yourself some money. Don't get this. This sounds like trash.
This actually half leads into the argument I was just having with Kotaku, because SkillUp pointed out the fact that they had a crack at David Cage for being sexist pig because of the way he treats women in his games. And SkillUp called him out to say, have you played it? Like, stop writing stupid shit and actually play the games, understand what's going on. And
I could say a lot about Kotaku, but
I chimed in and said, look, basically they've got their clickbait articles on file, they just bring them up, add the word in for the title, scatter it through the game and release it. And he's come back with saying, oh no, that's not true, that's definitely 100% not true, no one would do that, that's integrity, rah rah rah. So I did a quick search on Google for Kotaku pre-order games. There was 12 articles in the last 6 years that Kotaku was put out saying do not pre-order titles. That's one every 6 months. One every 6 months they write an article that says do not pre-order games, and they're trying to back themselves and say they don't rehash shit for clickbait stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just sent it to him. I just said screenshots. I said, yeah, nah, definitely you don't do that, mate. And he hasn't replied back yet.
yeah, I can say that.
But Yeah, like in Australia, we just talked about our internet.
Yeah,
I want to be digital. If I don't pre-order the game, I don't get the game at launch. I'm going to have to do a day one patch anyway. It's better off to pre-order it if I know I'm going to get it. You get the free refund within 2 hours anyway. Yeah. Like, you're going to know what if you're going to like it in that first 2 hours. So why the fuck not pre-order it if you want to get it anyway?
Yeah. Like, look, here's the thing. I find a lot of these websites that, you know, like Kotaku and all that these days. I had a conversation with Callum Ahern from videogamer.com over Twitter about... And we're bouncing back to Detroit here, which is funny. I had a conversation because we're both bouncing here back to Detroit. But I had a conversation with Callum Ahern about it. What I'm finding here, Wilco, is that it's not a professional slight in the least. What it is now is it's becoming too personal with a lot of these journalists and their views on these developers personally instead of what they're creating. And yeah, fair enough. You can have that against a person and judge them. I can't judge these people personally because I don't know them. Half of these journalists don't know them either. As far as I'm concerned, half of these journalists are as good as fucking TMZ to a celebrity.
The point they were making, I think, which is the skill up was making, was valid. The fact that most likely they've had this article written before Detroit even came out, saying that this is because of all the controversy that was around David Cage and his studio going into it.
Yeah, yeah, like, I remember.
Let's write a controversial piece about how he treats things badly. Women are in the game, so we change that word "things" to "women." Copy paste. And they're going into an opinion piece.
Yeah.
With
it doesn't become an opinion piece when it's a hit piece after. You know what I mean?
That's the point we were trying to make, and he's like trying to back. Anyway, this is going to go on all night.
Yeah, anyway, but let's move on.
A little bit off topic again, but Red Dead Redemption 2, special editions announced. Check them out.
Exactly. Thanks, Josh. See, I told you Josh was going to keep
the voice of reason, apparently.
Right. The voice of reason tonight, that's for sure. Hey, guys, we just discussed this before we actually started recording. Warner Brothers are teasing a reveal of an upcoming game. Thursday, June 7th at 10 a.m.
Now,
which
I'm assuming that's Pacific time.
So it'll be like Monday our time. We'll be like 5 days out, aren't we?
Probably, yeah.
Pretty sure that's not the way time in the world works, but good.
So, oh, really? Right. Oh, fuck, okay, fair enough.
Are they saying Thursday, 10 a.m. Pacific US,
I'm assuming I didn't, when I was looking at it, I didn't really see like...
Are you suggesting we didn't do a proper...
research?
How dare you!
So it's technically 6 hours from now. Tomorrow.
It's June 8th. I think it's gone by my time now. 3 a.m. on June the 8th.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, which is two days. That's what I just said.
We'll go.
I know. I'm just confirming it with you. I hate being on your side. You get all cranky about it.
But the big thing about this, and go check out their Twitter. Anyways, it's a really, really short video for this tease. Oh. But the big thing about it is that it seems to be the video behind it, somebody getting into a race jumpsuit, you know?
And it's got a Le Mans style car.
Yeah.
That's 100% confirmed.
Yeah. And
there's a mechanic working on it from what I can see right now. He's definitely in a pit lane.
Yeah.
It's 100% a racing GIF or GIF, whatever fucking side of the road you fall on.
But Warner Brothers haven't really done anything along this vein.
I can't think. Please correct us if we're wrong. Hit me up. Leading into one of our upcoming news articles, I've just gone to their website and it's got their Twitter feed down the side. Interestingly enough, they've done this tweet 18 hours ago. Mm-hmm. 10 hours ago, they retweeted the IGN article about Sony is going to reveal games before their conference. Microsoft is handing out serious discounts for Xbox hardware and software. That Sony part, because Sony's unveiling a few dates for games and things like this, whether this is a VR title, because they have mentioned that they're going to reveal some VR stuff, and racing games are sick in VR.
They make you sick.
They make you sick, yeah.
Yeah, they do make you sick, but they are the best way to play the game. So I'm just wondering if that's going to lead into whatever Warner Brothers has been working on, because I just can't see them making a full-blooded racing game, especially when you've got Gran Turismo in its twilight hours, you've got Forza and Forza Horizon especially Forza Horizon this year. You got Project Cars going gangbusters as well. It's such a crowded market. Why would they be jumping in on this? But unless it is a VR title that's going to be a proper AAA racing VR title.
Something's
going to
stand out.
Built from the... Like, I know most of the games are built for VR, racing games built are built for VR, but not from the ground up, I guess. But I don't know. That's my take on it at the moment. I just saw that the link there, so... I don't know. Be interesting. So
keep your eyes peeled anyways.
Yeah. I'm going to say, I do find this interesting and intriguing. And I mentioned before as well that I believe we might see this one at the Sony conference rather than the Microsoft conference, mainly because, and I know that you've been saying, what about Gran Turismo? But the thing is, every year, Microsoft have Forza, whether it's Horizon or Motorsport.
Yeah.
And like you said, VR is going to be a factor if they actually have VR in this game.
It would be perfect for PlayStation VR.
Yeah, exactly. But I believe that the way it's going to be revealed, if it's revealed, it'll be at Sony's press conference, but quick, like a snap trailer. And it's like, here it is, now get the F off the stage. So it's...
I completely understand where you're coming from, because Gran Turismo, like I said, it's in its twilight days. It didn't have a good run out last year.
No.
Drive Club has been cancelled. They don't really have a flagpole racer, so if they've picked up Warner Brothers and said, "Well, you're making this, we want to have it on our console."
Yeah, once again, I don't can think see it's that gonna happening because Microsoft. Though.
Yeah, I could almost see it now. Now you're talking about it being that because Microsoft wouldn't care less. They don't want to cannibalize their market.
Yeah,
like, and Sony really does need, like, for ages, racing games show off the console. A good racing the best. Game.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It'd be interesting, but we will know as of Friday morning our time. Mm-hmm. And like I think you said, I think it's going to be a quick, here's a 2 second, like a 30 second, 1 minute video. We'll know a bit about it. We'll get some details and then we'll show you more.
That'll be at E3 though. Yeah. Guys, Sony, speaking of E3, Sony are set to reveal 3 new PlayStation games before E3.
So every day from every day leading up to E3, starting on, I think it's Wednesday, which is Thursday our time, they will be unveiling a fairly large piece of news.
Yep.
Well, according to them, anyway. So you're going to get a new PS4 game which supports VR on Wednesday the 6th. Mm-hmm. So that is before this this actual announcement. It definitely is before. Then they're going to, on the next day, they're going to have a release date for an upcoming Worldwide Studios title. That's the one I find interesting. We'll come back to that in a sec. Yeah. There's a new PS4 game announcement on the Friday, which could be anything. You never know what that could be. Siphon Filter, hopefully. Thank you very much. That'd be great.
I don't think so. Buddy brought this up last night. But listen, Buddy brought this up on his predictions last night. There is not going to be a Siphon Filter game. I'm telling you now.
Okay, you're allowed to be wrong. I don't mind that. I don't care. new PS4 VR game will be announced on Saturday, and then the eagerly anticipated game comes to PlayStation VR. That sounds like it's actually going to be released on that day, or it's actually going to be announced, I guess, maybe on the Sunday, and then obviously the press conference on the Monday. So this is their 12 days of E3 Christmas type of thing, but only 4 days or 5 days leading up. But what do you think is going to get the date from the Worldwide Studios?
I don't know.
Can't be Days Gone. I 100%, if it's Days Gone, I'd be shocked, because that's at least 6 months away and Sony doesn't do that anymore.
I don't think that's going to be it. If it is, then it means that they've been given a time, like as in, hey, you guys have had enough time.
Yeah, it needs to be out by then.
But why not just do that on stage? Like, just a quick teaser.
I can't remember who I discussed this with. See, this is the thing. I can't remember who I discussed this with. It might have been Buddy, but I discussed this with somebody recently, and it was basically because The Last of Us is being developed alongside Days Gone, and Sony have got to get Ben to, like, push it. They got to push it, basically. It's like, hey, you've been working on this long enough, you realize that The Last of Us is going to be out, and you guys can't launch at the exact same time as Last of Us, because the genres are too far and few.
I think Last of Us is next year, though, like late next year.
But that's what I mean. Last of Us will be next year. If anything, if Ben don't get Days Gone out before the end of this year, they're completely screwed because
they've already said Sony's come out in the blog and said it's 2019.
Yeah, but here's the thing though: if they launch it side by side with The Last of Us, that game is utterly screwed because it's too close. The genre is too close, and it's so similar that it's they're, and I hate to say this, but they're effing themselves in the ass. So. They really, if it is that, then good on them. But at the same time, I'm kind of worried because it also means they've been told there's your window. You've got to hurry the fuck up and get this out now. Or else
I'm just trying to think what other games are in the works that are close enough to get a release date. So the other one I heard today going around was Dreams, but I don't know whether they turn around and say it's released, but it's only early access. And it's coming out in August. Spider-Man's already got a date. I can't think of... Unless there's a Japanese studio that's been working on something small, I guess, or one of their VR teams has been working on...
Something. Like, anything from Square?
No, because that's not a worldwide studio. It's got to be a
first-party
company.
Nintendo, Nintendo. Sony...
In-house.
Entertainment worldwide.
Right. So you're talking Bend, you're talking Naughty Dog, you're talking... there's a heaps more. Obviously, the guys who did God of War, Santa Monica.
Sucker Punch.
Sucker Punch.
Ooh, yeah.
Which they won't do Ghost of Tsushima so close.
No.
Because
they've already said that's going to be at the show, so why announce the release date beforehand and it's not ready?
It's a Sony worldwide. It's going to be big.
Unless it's something like... Because the Europe studios, I don't know what London and that have been working on, or did they close them up? Because they were used to do stuff like Buzz and things like that. What have they been working on lately?
That's the thing. I don't.
They've been doing VR, haven't they? They did The Getaway or whatever it was.
Oh yeah, that's right. They did too. That was,
unless
that
they've revamped that as some kind of a small version for non VR.
I hope not, because look, VR is becoming the new Vita.
Yeah.
And honestly, I can't wait to actually sell mine because honestly, there hasn't been anything out on it that's made me go, oh yeah, no problem. The last thing that came out was Farpoint, and I still got it sitting on the shelf. I didn't complete it. Played about a good maybe 30 minutes of it, and I was like, yeah, I'm done.
Unless the other thing I think of, unless it's a free-to-play game that one of the studios
Battle
has
Royale.
Been working. Well, it's very much a possibility. Although they've just had H1 come across, so that's probably not. But unless it's a Japanese studio making a very small JRPG, or one of their other studios that's just made a MOBA, or not a MOBA, but something along those lines, where it's a, I don't know. It's a strange one. That's the one I'm most keen to find out. You know, they can announce Siphon Filter on the Friday. That's okay. I just want to know that Thursday, what's getting the date, because it's baffling me. But
speaking of which, did you guys discuss last week? Because I can't remember. Did you guys discuss last week Crackdown 3's kerfuffle with Amazon?
Nah.
No.
So apparently. So this will be a nice one. I'll just slide in there. Crackdown 3 pre-orders were actually cancelled by Amazon last week.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, so my go on this is that... Buddy had a prediction last night that kind of... I listened to again today and was like, that might be a thing, because what they're thinking of is that making a Battle Royale mode for Crackdown 3. So what they've done is delayed it... And there hasn't been an announcement yet for a delay.
The problem with that, the time doesn't work with it, because this got delayed before Battle Royales got popular. So it's not like they would have been that far crystal balling the fact that Battle Royales were going to be big. They might reimagine it now and then push it out next year. See, my prediction was that Crackdown 3 won't even be on the shades. They won't mention it at all. And everyone's like, because that was my big prediction, my wild card one. And everyone's like, that's not very wild. I said, for the fact that there's only one game in development from in-house Microsoft at the moment, and I'm saying it's not going to be at E3, that's a fucking fairly big thing. But
probably
I don't think we'll see about it. But I didn't hear about the Amazon cancelling the pre-orders, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Especially that whole E3 2014 that came out of, it's... like the most cursed E3 presentation in history.
Oh yeah.
So
definitely.
They aim for the stars. I think it'll be an Xbox, whatever they call the next one. release title because that will actually be able to handle the physics that they're talking about. But anyway.
Yeah, probably. You're probably right.
I'm never right, to be honest.
Nintendo partnered with Astro guys to make a Zelda Breath of the Wild theme Switch exclusive headset, which will allow some sort of party chat. So
yeah.
it's a weird one because Nintendo will obviously rely on their mobile app to actually get voice chat going for the Nintendo Switch, and I think
it's all good. This one's got a discrete chat cable.
Yeah, so it's obviously going to be like a split thing, I reckon.
Yeah. It'll just be a splitter in the cable at somewhere that goes, hey, this goes into your headset mic on your Switch, and this one goes into your headset mic on your phone.
Yeah.
Maybe they make a case where your phone attaches to the back of it, and that's part of the discrete cable.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just completely weirds me out that Nintendo have done that. Considering, I know they want to keep their consoles family friendly and kind of protect kids from actually talking with strangers and all that stuff, and good on them.
And then put a chat device on a phone which kids shouldn't be having anyway.
Exactly. And, I mean, kids have been chatting to fucking adults on Xbox Live for, over a decade now. It's not going to be any different to Nintendo doing it anyway.
And look, Dash worked out perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But the thing is, like, I remember the launch night of Super Mario Odyssey, I actually plugged in my PlayStation 4 7.1 stereo headset, the wireless ones, I plugged the USB into my Switch and used those. To my surprise, it actually worked. And I was like, shit, why doesn't Nintendo just do something like this?
We talked about this the other week where, hey, yeah. Nintendo, go talk to Discord. Get them to fucking put an app on there, and everyone
late.
Will be happy.
It's too late. Microsoft have already signed a deal with them. That's just
Anyway, well, I'm not.
It's licensing and rights, Wilco. You gotta understand. They're not gonna do it if they haven't got the license rights to it as well. It's money, and it's Nintendo here. They're like Apple. They don't want to do anything unless it's theirs.
Yeah, I know. True. But if they wanted to do it properly, just get someone who actually knows what they're doing and do it for them.
No, I agree. I completely agree. Hey, guys. Screwtape Studios receives a grant from Screen Queensland.
That's pretty
cool.
Awesome news.
That's
good honor. We covered this a few months ago where actually Screen Queensland is finally starting to throw some money around at Queensland indie game devs since the Australian government isn't going to. So the fact that Screwtape Studios, which is making one of the most anticipated games on my radar out of Queensland, basically on their own for the last 6 years without very minimal funding anyway. This is going to help them massively as far as marketing goes. So Damsel, you'll see it actually in some places now being marketed properly going forward from this grant. And I messaged them this morning. They're over the moon. Kados, the marketing managers, and also Meg and Anthony, they're very, very excited about this, and good on them because they deserve as much publicity as they can get for as cheap as they can get because this game is awesome.
Good on them. Congratulations to them. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Guys, oh my God. This next one.
Mario Odyssey has been confirmed.
Mario Odyssey by Ubisoft.
It's a weird one because after last year where Nintendo and Ubisoft were on such good terms where they had them on the same stage and they're talking about Mario and rabbits, and then Mario Odyssey comes out and Ubisoft's gone, hold my beer.
Hold my beer. Meme.
This is a weird one because everybody's kind of having a go at Ubisoft on socials, and so they fucking should. Ubisoft has announced Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Get it right. Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed.
As many asses in there as you
That's
can.
That's right. Two ass. Assassin's Creed. Yes, Assassin's Creed Odyssey has been announced, even though Ubisoft actually said themselves, hey, we'll take, a hiatus. Like, each time we'll take a year break. And
they only announced the 1 year break. They're always coming back yearly.
This is atrocious. I'm sorry. No. But you know what? They did this last
They've
time.
They've got
with
45
like,
million studios working on this game. They can, they'll be able to do it yearly. I guarantee you. It's fine.
Yeah, sure. And then it ends up looking like fucking Black Flag and the other one for that.
The rumors about this one at the moment is the fact that they're leaning harder into the Witcher style gameplay than what they did in the previous one, where It's more RPG, so you'll get dialogue choices that will actually affect the game in this.
Oh, great. It's Detroit Become Human cross...
It's look, the fact that it's set in Rome is like, yeah, and like not Rome that they've sort of... Like, this is...
Where is it?
It's
where,
Greece, where is it actually. It's supposed to be gladiators in Greece and stuff like that. So it's ancient Greece.
Why are they calling it Odyssey?
I just want to say,
because there's a book called Odyssey about that time period that's really famous.
Of all of this,
oh, Josh is here.
Of
hey,
all
yo,
of
mate.
This and everything they're saying about Assassin's Creed Odyssey. Yeah, cool. Another Assassin's Creed. Yeah, cool. I'll probably play it because I'm a sucker. But I read something today. This is the 13th time that an Assassin's Creed game has been confirmed after a leak. Going back through their history, I think only Assassin's Creed game that did not have a leak of some kind was Assassin's
Ubisoft
Creed 2.
Ubisoft put it in Watch Dogs 2, where you actually had to break into a studio called... basically was Ubisoft and leaked their game.
I don't know.
They've been making fun of it for years.
Find that hole and plug it, boys, because fuck you.
Yeah, there's an insider
in
there.
Like I said, they've got 45 million people making these games. There is no way you can shut that leak down with that many people. They've just got to get aggressive on how they announce these things, or creative. They don't care anymore. They're going to sell millions of copies of this. If it leaks early, who cares? As we've seen, leading up to this E3, will there be anything that we don't know about come day one?
That's the thing. That Canadian Walmart leak that keeps... that infamous Canadian Walmart leak that keeps...
With Forza Horizon 5 and Destiny 1 expansion comment.
Okay, yeah, fair enough that it had some wrong names on it, but the names mean nothing. It's what's actually been put out there on that leak, and Assassin's Creed was one of them.
It was.
Oh, yeah.
So, the thing is, a lot of that leak is probably going to happen.
The big thing with Assassins is, will they delay it till March?
Yes.
Are they going to go ahead and go up against Red Dead Redemption 2?
Yes.
And release it in November, or are they going to push it back into it? March is going to be so crowded anyway.
Yeah. But the thing is, this is... And I hate saying this about Ubisoft, but... they are, and I know that you do, your Ubisoft-centric podcast on the side, the Tom Clancy one, as well.
We'll Tom Clancy podcast. They just happen to be done by Ubisoft. It's all good.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's not for anything that Ubisoft have got. Like, and I'm going to put this in a way that probably sounds a bit wrong, but they got their head up their own ass, and.
That's why I love them so much.
Yeah, but Wilco, it's mainly so because they think that their ball game is a higher echelon right now, when the fact is they have no right to even think about being up there with some of the big boys, because some of their games right now have been utter trash. And I know you like your Division, right? And I can't really argue with that, because Division's all right, I guess, but these games can't compete with some of the big boys right now. You're talking about Red Dead 2, The Last of Us 2. You know, there's a potential that The Last of Us 2 will come out at that time next year as well, because Uncharted and The Last of Us first one, they both came out at that time of year as well. So if it's a 2019 March release, so we're talking 2019 March, April here, and...
I was just throwing that out, because they're already going to have...
But that's a rumor, though. That is the rumor.
Yeah, I can't see that. But for the other reason, the fact that if they release it in 2019, they will not be able to release another game, Assassin's Creed game, at the end of 2019. So they have to get this thing out in November. Their hands are pretty much tied.
You don't think it's too soon?
Oh, no, we certainly think it's too soon. But the issue is
they've had a studio working on this for like the last 3 years. Like, it's not too soon. It's just perceived too soon. It's like Call of Duty. Call of Duty does it every year, until probably next year. But
Call of Duty now, have three studios doing it.
Yeah, right. And I guarantee you, Ubisoft has like five studios doing Assassin's Creed. The way they're set up is very different, though. They don't have studios working on it. They're basically one massive entity that just works on it. And they help each other out across all the different brands and all the different franchises. So it's set up in a way where, like, whatever, like, I understand as far as story, that there's never going to be a Ubisoft game that's game of the year. I 100% guarantee you. They're going for a market that's more mass market than that.
I wish there was more.
Yeah, but there won't. They make mass market products, which is a very different thing.
Yeah.
What they do better than any other publisher slash developer on the planet is they back themselves. They bring out shit that no one else will bring out. And then they not only do that, but then they turn around and go, we don't care if this thing flopped. We're going to work on this for the next 5 to 6 years and make it something that you're going to care about. Look at For Honor. They're still going to have For Honor on stage at this E3. It released, 18 months ago to a very bad reception, and it's got a very small but growing community.
Yeah, I didn't even realise people still played that.
But it's going to be on the E3 stage. And they did the same with the Tom Clancy games that you've mentioned before that we talk about. Each one of them, they have improved upon and brought to a place where people actually, like, the communities are growing at fast rates again. Yeah. So that's what they do better than anyone else. They make mass market games. They don't make high quality, how do I say it, critically acclaimed. They don't make critically acclaimed games. That's straight up. They make mass market fun, but they don't do it like everyone. Yeah, but they don't do it like Activision does. Activision turns around and says, okay, we need a shooter.
No. I can argue that, Walker. That's not true. They do, okay? Because Assassin's Creed was yearly, and it became yearly, and everybody got sick of it.
Yeah.
And you know what? They listened. They actually listened and said, okay, we'll take a break. Off. Yeah, we'll take a break, and we'll refresh. And they came back and hit it out of the park with Origins, and that was an amazing Assassin's Creed game.
Yep, so if they have that formula, they have another 12 months perfecting that formula and adding in more RPG stuff. They're going more into that. Like,
well,
they better
hope that they're using the same engine. That'd be great.
Well, I don't think they can change it this far into it. But look, I'm excited. This is only a rumor. We'll know more next week, and we'll probably talk about it a bit more then. Yeah.
Guys, Square Enix have announced that they're not going to be developing any more Go games, basically like Hitman Go and Lara Croft
Tomb
Go.
Lara Croft Go.
Yeah, yeah. Which is good, to be honest, because I think that those games need to stop.
Oh, look, I mean, I read this article, and part of what they were saying was that Square Enix were designing them and creating them as a premium product when there's so many other... Like, the mobile market is a freemium market. You know, like, it's a free to play, pay as you go kind of market games had an upfront cost.
If they repurpose it for the Switch, they would actually find a market which is happy to pay premium prices for a game at the moment. Like, look how well that store goes for anything that's... It's a new Steam where it's, oh, this game just released for $7, I'll give it a crack.
Yeah.
Imagine Hitman Go just releases for $5. I'll be like, fuck yeah, give me that shit.
I buy all my games on Switch digitally.
Yeah, that's it. Look,
I think it's one of those things where, personally, I wasn't really invested in these Go games. I thought they were all right. They're mobile games, like you guys said, and they've got that free-to-play market to it, and people will be more than happy to pay a premium for the play-as-you-go. And my main concern out of it all is I hope that nobody loses their job out of them.
Nah, they'll be working on something different now, something better. I hope so. They do say they want to still aim for that mobile market because there's money there, but not with the Go series, unfortunately, which is sad because I think they had... One of my predictions was Avengers was going to get a Go version fairly soon, but unfortunately, we're not going to see that. So.
No. And to wrap up our main stories for the evening, guys, Anthem at E3, BioWare... is coming with Anthem.
They've unveiled the details of what they will be showing, and look, I've clicked the wrong link, don't have exactly what they've done.
So, BioWare will be showing off Anthem at E3 this year. Yeah. They've said basically what's going to happen is they're going to be showing, like, they're going to be basically just showing off more of the gameplay that we expected.
They're
going to
show the story, the gameplay. Yeah. A lot more of the universe itself. So I expect it to probably have a full half an hour as part of EA Play.
Yep.
You will completely understand exactly what's going on with Anthem. You'll see a lot more about the javelins themselves and the loot. They keep on talking about the loot. The only thing that interests me, because I'm massively excited about Anthem, and I've got some stuff invested in making this, like, this thing. I want this to be big.
Yeah.
The only thing I'll be watching this event for is what's their pay model going forward, mm-hmm. and will there be loot boxes? Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I want to hear from them, is them to say we've stripped all paid progression out of this game, and there will be no more paid for loot boxes in this game whatsoever. That's all I want to hear. Yeah.
And look, that announcement, either being there or not being there, is going to make or break Anthem at this E3.
100%. Because this is going to release in March next year, which is becoming extremely
cluttered.
But the big thing is that will be when Division 2 launches, which is the other big looter shooter that's coming up. They're going to go head to head, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a bloodbath. One of them will actually hurt by going up against each other. So
yeah, I agree. All right, and a couple more other notes in the news that we'll just quickly skim over. Destiny 2 Year 2 reveal will happen on June 5th at 9 a.m. Pacific.
Which is very, very soon. I know I said I wanted to skip over this, but I've actually got a point to make on Destiny 2.
All right, yeah, go for it. Please do.
Destiny is in the most precarious position it's ever going to be in, because it's had a bad launch. They're going to launch in September. What's happening in September? Every Spider-Man. Fucking other game is going to launch in
Spyro
September.
Spyro the Dragon.
Spyro. Fuck yeah.
No, Spider-Man will launch, but there's also every game that doesn't want to be out in October when Red Dead Redemption 2 will launch in September. I think either that or March next year. So September's going to get awfully crowded awfully quickly. And then anyone who went, oh, I like Destiny 2, oh, they've got that big expansion, but oh, gee, here's shiny new Spider-Man. Oh, here's Forza Horizon 4, or if you believe Canada Walmart, they're going to go to 5 straight away. he's a handful of other, like Tomb Raider, I think, is coming out in September, if I'm wrong.
Yep. Let's not forget Spyro the Dragon.
Yeah, whatever, Spyro, I don't care. But they could very well get overshadowed big time. And if they don't pick their community back up from this drop, they're in dire straits.
Oh, shit, yeah.
But anyway. It will know more. The expansion's called Forsaken. We'll know more in the next 24 hours.
24 hours, yeah, definitely.
Basically, when we wake up, it'll be good.
Pretty much, yeah. Hey, heat map. I don't know what you've written.
So
here, Josh.
Basically, there was a heat map of players' exploration through Elite Dangerous has recently come out, and it shows that only 0.006% of the galaxy has been explored by the players since the game launched in 2015.
That number seems high to me, to be honest.
I just think that's a fit. It highlights how fucking massive that game is. Like, fuck me.
Well, it is. It's the whole galaxy. Yeah. So, like, it's crazy.
And the heat map's actually pretty as well. Like, it's a pretty image to look at. So, if you want to go check it out,
there's a lot of straight lines down the middle in it. It's interesting.
And to round off the news in total, State of Decay 2 has hit 2 million players in less than 2 weeks, guys.
That's pretty good for a free-to-play game, to be honest.
That's pretty good for a shit game, to be honest. Anyway.
What that proves is there's more than 2 million Game Pass subscribers out there.
Good on them. Shit game. Coming from Xbox. Anyway, hey guys, we'll move into listener feedback for the week, and all three questions are pretty much pointed to me. Because
I'm going
to
sit back and have a sleep. You tell me when you're done.
Do
you want me to ask you the questions? Is that going to be
I think, all Josh, right, please
here
do.
We go. So,
I was going to have a lot more fun listening to him
ask himself.
Don't take my fun away from me, Josh.
So, just please do it, look, Josh. Our wonderful good friend, Mr. Das Chommers Jerkins, because he is part of the Jerkins clan, and he always will be.
There's definitely a split in Discord at the moment. There's the McDad clan and the Jerkins clan. I don't want to see how this Game of Thrones rivalry plays out, but it's going to have to play out.
Butters would be here.
I'm wondering which one of us is actually is it the Jerkins clan or is it the McDad clan that's really Daenerys and,
I'm with the Jerkins clan. McDad, unfollow me on Twitter.
What?
Yeah, I'm
He only unfollowed you. I blocked you.
So yeah, good friend Butters asks, how excited is Dash that Victoria is going to be Australia's home for Espitz?
Yeah, God. Look, the Dash answer would be, I could give a fucking rat's ass, but the real answer is, honestly, I'm kind of...
I can't give a real rat's ass.
Yeah. No. Well, part of me doesn't really care, but because I'm not a big esports guy. But, I mean, it's good.
Espitz, mate. Espitz. If you're on this podcast, you call them Espitz or you go home.
That's how it's pronounced now.
Hey, man, I'm the host this week, all right? This is a Dash cast, all right? Look, the Espitz or esports, I guess. Look, it's great that they finally found somewhere to actually host it properly. I've got a feeling that in saying that, too, IEM might actually find a new home as well. They've been touting it for Brisbane, which it sounds kind of vague, like a vague tout, but... I mean, if it is, it's great. But I think that in saying this, if Melbourne's going to be the new... By the way, it's Melbourne, not Victoria, that's been the new home for esports.
Is there other parts outside of Melbourne?
Melbourne is in
Victoria,
though, yeah?
Yeah, basically, Victoria is Melbourne. Yeah. But like you said before, Walker, I think we're probably going to see a home in Marvel Stadium as a new home for esports events like IEM. I think IEM has had its run in Sydney, yeah, and it seemed that way for the last one. So it's definitely going to be interesting. I'm for it, partially for it, I guess, but I'm kind of against it because I am not the biggest esports advocate. I don't think it's actually a sport. And I've gone through many discussions.
It's an Espitz. It's not a sport.
It's gaming. It's competitive gaming. So it almost sounds like gambling when I say it, but it's competitive gaming. But it, like, honestly, good on them. I'm glad. I'm happy. And yeah, if it comes down to Melbourne and if IEM comes down with it as well, hey, man, I'll be there. So good on them.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will. Yes, I will. What are you talking about?
It'll be like PAX all over again. I'll be there.
I'll be there. No one.
Hey, man, I don't want to even go into that.
So next question. Comes from Whippy Bippy Cunty Munty Jerkins. I always struggle to say Whiplash's name.
It's just
now.
Whip.
I think it's time to change his name to Whip.
Yeah.
Come on.
Just Whip. Come on, Whip.
So he asks, Dash, who is best waifu? Now, I'm looking at you right now. You can't see me. I can't see you. But I'm looking at you with some kind of look of, what the fuck is Whip talking about here, Dash?
And it's not they can't see each other. It's not because the webcams aren't on. It's because of the lag. Literally,
yeah. My carrier pigeon has
video stream
gotten,
will get there in 2 weeks' time.
My carrier pigeon hasn't got to Dash yet. You know. So.
Fair enough. What he's talking about is waifu like anime and stuff. I've been watching a lot of anime lately. I've been getting back into it because of the guys from a couple of NPCs and NATO from You Game Bro. So what it is?
Never heard of him.
Neither have I. I've been watching a lot of anime, and he wants to know who he thinks the best girl is from anime. So, at the moment, I'm watching...
you can say yourself if you want.
Nah, I'm watching Darling in the Franxx, and that's actually a pretty good anime. I'm guessing Whip's watching it as well, so I'm really enjoying 02 from Darling in the Franxx. She's got a good character about her.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. Somebody who listens to this podcast will actually know what he just said. I do not.
Yes.
last question is from at John O'Peck, from his Twitter, and he has asked, and it's a fairly it's a genuine question.
It's on point.
Can you even do a podcast without your name in it?
No.
Like, is there a licensing? Like, what is it? What it, you know? Just
no. I mean, I do 8-bit mania, but that's going to be turned to Dash Mania pretty soon,
yeah, right.
Anyway.
Yeah,
so
yeah. So that's coming. 8-bit Dash Mania,
pretty much.
Dash 8-bit Mania, something like that.
That's right. Hey, thanks for the listener feedback, guys. I really appreciate it. You've kind of made me blush a little bit. hey, we'll start wrapping it up. Hey, guys, what are you looking forward to in the next couple up and coming weeks? Like, it's honestly going to be probably E3. Yeah.
E3
is the big one. E3 is the big one.
Yeah.
Jurassic World Evolution.
Oh, very cool.
That's going to be pretty high up on my agenda. Getting into some Sea of Thieves Hungering Deep this weekend, attacking the Megalodon, which will be pretty cool. Other than that, probably, platinuming Detroit.
Very nice. Josh?
Playing some more State of Decay 2, probably. Yeah. Keen for that. As I said, I've spent a fair bit of time with it, and the wife's spending, you know, she's playing it as well, so we played together. That's good. But keen to get back into Vampire and just progress further through that, because I'm starting to get hooked just on what I'm seeing so far. So, and yeah, then just all the E3 stuff, man. Just, you know, going to be a busy week next week.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Personally, I'll be looking forward to E3. I've got the month off, which I actually took on purpose to, for E3 and some other stuff, obviously working with 8-Bit. But personally, I'm looking forward to playing my second round of Detroit, and as well as The Last of Us 2 next week being shown off. I could really care about the rest of them, to be honest, but The Last of Us 2 being shown off. Nintendo's presentation, to me, is honestly going to steal the show next week. So I think that's the next thing I'm kind of looking forward to, especially I'm fingers crossed that there's going to be a Persona 5 reveal at the Nintendo presentation, fingers crossed. And yeah, and I really want a surprise from each conference. I really want them to surprise me. That's what I want, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm hoping that we get some big, big surprises, because from what I'm gauging from each conference so far is that, hey, we've revealed everything, so we're just going to show you everything at E3. So it's, I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that we get some
a surprise. Surprises. Just
one, that's what I want.
Something we don't know of.
At least. At least.
That's fair. Well,
hey guys.
I guess that.
Yeah, go on. What were we going to say?
I guess that finishes us out, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I was going to say thanks for having me.
No, thank you for coming. We're done. It's been good to have you here, mate, and I hope you've enjoyed your time, and thanks for spending your night with us, mate.
Thank you.
You've plugged it all earlier, but if anybody's looking for you, where can they find you?
So they can find me on Twitter at -gamers with an S at the end. You can also find me over on 8bit.net with The Hungry Family. We do a whole slew of podcasts over there, and hopefully hear you guys or see you guys over there.
Very nice. Very nice.
Maybe. We'll see.
Hey, Wilco, where can we find you?
Wilco Shillzone on all the places and all the things, and then about 45 other podcasts that you are unaware of, Dash, that I do. So,
fantastic. All the mystique and mystery behind Wilco's podcast, I guess. Hey, Josh, where can we find you?
You can find me basically on the Ultra Super Mega Discord or Super Mega Josh on Twitter, which gets used sometimes. Otherwise, you can generally find me on my natural gaming platform of the PS4. Give us a shout out if you've got something and you want to play, and I've got it, we'll play.
Yes. What's this name that you got here on PS4 here?
Oh, that's just my PS4 name that's on there, Balthus. So that's just my link name there. So
Bay Elvis?
Pretty much.
Oh my god. Alright guys, guys, if you didn't know, this has been the MegaCast. This is actually how I usually just wrap up everything. So this has been the MegaCast episode 88, guys. If you like this, please give the guys a cheeky 5-star rating. It definitely helps them out. You can check them out once the website relaunches, because you guys are still relaunching the website. Is that right?
No, nope. It's all up.
It's always been there.
It's there.
Oh, it's up. Yeah, okay. It's there. Fair enough. Yeah. Last time I spoke with Perko, that's apparently what was his plan. But head over to ultrasupermega.com and check out .com.au, sorry about that. .com.au. Check out all the greatness from these guys, because they do a great job. And that's about it, guys. I don't even know how you guys end this at all.
How do you guys just abruptly?
We just keep on talking.
We just end it and say thanks.
Yeah? Well, then, much love.
See you later.
Stay dashing.
Stay dashing. Stay dashing. I like that
please
one.
Please don't.
See you guys.
See ya.
Thanks, guys. See you later.